Blog Talk Radio.
Take a Run Productions.
Welcome to the URN Radio Show. I'm the Mouse from the South, the Paranormal Outlaw. And joining me, as always, is Mr. Jeffrey Sterl. Matt will be with us shortly. But, yeah, what's up?
It's hot. That's what's up.
Yeah, it's pretty damn hot here as well here in Texas.
100 plus degrees again. This is insane.
Well, you knew we couldn't go all summer without the 100 degree weather.
I know it, but I was just hoping.
One of my friends goes, so many days till official day of fall. I said, well, that doesn't fall into Texas's weather's category. It could be October.
Just,
and it could still be hot.
Yeah, we have two different seasons here in Texas. We have summer and slightly cooler than summer. And that's it.
No, we have summer and hot as hell season.
Yep. That's why I said slightly cooler. Like December, it'll be like 97 degrees.
Yeah, I was on the lake this morning. We fished a tournament, and my club that does the tournaments, we decided only to fish till noon. So we fished from 6 a.m. to noon today because it was getting, and even at noon, it was burning, blazing hot. I was glad to get off the lake.
I know that's right.
Yeah. And hopefully, Our guest tonight's Christina George. Hopefully everything's okay with her and her family over there. I'm not real sure her location in regards to the earthquake. I know it hit Napa, California, but I know that she lives in Northern California as well. So hopefully she is good, and hopefully she'll be able to make the show tonight. If she doesn't, we'll just reschedule her, but she hasn't been answering her Facebook or text. So, more importantly, her showing up the show is irrelevant. It's more that hopefully she and her family are okay.
Absolutely.
So, we'll see. We'll play it by ear tonight, and we'll see what happens. But luckily, I mean, from what I saw on television, even a 6.0 does a pretty good amount of damage.
Absolutely.
At least it wasn't when the World Series was going on, you know, several years ago over there in San Francisco when they had that, what was it, 8.3 or something like that?
It was pretty damn high. I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, so... thoughts and prayers go out to everybody over there. Last report I saw, there was no fatalities. There was a few injured critically, and then a lot of other minor injuries from the quake. So hopefully that's everybody will get through that. What else?
Don't
what
get
else
me to
going on in the world?
I've been working and rehearsing all weekend, and all, well, not all weekend, but all week. So I have no idea what the hell is going on in the world.
Well, luckily the rioting in Ferguson has subsided. So at least that's kind of tailored down. The whole Middle East is getting just nuts. They said today on the news that they think that ISIS may be up to 45,000 members or soldiers.
That's
pretty scary. And that's what we get, our government gets for going, oh, our wonderful president made a comment several months back that ISIS is just like the JV football team. You know, they're not much of a threat. Yeah, okay. You see what they're doing now.
Well, they're not a threat to us here.
Oh, yes, they are, because they got Americans fighting for them. And some of the CIA and whatnot have said that there are ISIS members over here in the United States as we speak.
And it's their fault for letting them in here, bunch of idiots.
Correct. I totally agree with you. But just saying. So we got that going on, and just like when I had Christina on Tuesday, a lot of bad energy in the world. A lot of bad energy throughout the world. Just chaos everywhere, it seems like. More and more things are going on negative. Jeff and I talk about this every once in a while. I was wondering, you know, what Westboro Baptist Church was up to, you know, because they're always in the news. They're always doing something stupid. And when I pulled it up the other day, I saw that they are going to protest Robin Williams' funeral.
Yep.
All because the man, and you and I are actors, we got theater degrees, all because Robin had played a gay person in The Birdcage and played a crossdresser in Mrs. Doubtfire.
To be honest, it wouldn't make a difference. They'd want to protest his funeral anyway.
Well, I know, but their statements that come from them off their website,
I know,
is because of that, and they said that, you know, so I'm not going to say the harsh comments that they say on air, but basically people of that nature, you know, go to hell anyway. So it's unfortunate. I don't get people in this world, why they have to act like this. And you know, you got that kind of crap going on in every aspect of everybody's life. It could be people in the education world where you work. There's people like that, whether it's coworkers or parents or children. It's like that in the paranormal community as well, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
I just wish people would focus more on how they can make themselves a better person instead of trying to tell other people how to live their lives, you know?
Well, that would mean, if they did that, then that would mean that they're a decent human being and they can't do that.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. So, I don't know, man. I don't know. I believe we have a caller. I believe it's Matt.
Yep, it's Matt.
Hey,
Matt.
Guys, what's going on?
Oh, not much, man. We're just sitting here chit-chatting about the world and different things going on. And I had mentioned at the start of the show that I don't know if Christina will be on or not because she does live in Northern California, and I don't know where she's located with regards to the earthquake that just happened today. So
yeah.
She's not answering her Facebook or her phone. I text her, so I was just making that announcement in case she doesn't come on. Like I said, I'd rather her be okay and not worry about her actually being on the show because I can always reschedule her.
Yeah, if she did come on the show, she would definitely be a trooper. What happened there today was not pretty. I have a couple friends that live in Northern California that I talked to just to call and make sure they were okay, and physically they're okay, but emotionally not so much.
Yeah, that's one thing about an earthquake compared to other things like hurricanes, tornadoes, that kind of thing. I mean, yeah, they can be unexpected, but you kind of know, beforehand an earthquake, you don't, there's no real fair warning. It just happens. It's boom,
Yeah. So, been through a hurricane, been through a tornado, have never been through, we got hit, and a lot of people don't know this, there's a fault line that runs through the center of Illinois.
Yeah.
And I think the highest recorded that's been around here was right around like a 2. So kind of like somebody gently shaking you awake. But, yeah, it wasn't anything to ever write home about. I personally have never felt it. But I guess it's happened, and it's a scary thing. I mean, once you start to get into magnitudes of, 6 or better, that's devastating, especially if it's something in the middle of the night where this one happened during the day, but, you're just going about your day-to-day or sleeping or whatever, and then all of a sudden everything you own is on the floor. You don't know what the hell is going on. I don't want to go through one. I definitely have to say that my heart's out to the people in Northern California who are dealing with it. Hopefully your friends, family, and loved ones are okay. So that's also kind of the neighborhood of where it was. I try to get in contact with Scott Grunewald because it's not far from where he is.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I haven't heard back from him, so I hope that him and his wife and kids and everything are okay.
Well, and another thing that reason we may not be able to get a hold of our guest or even Scott, there's lots of people without power over there. So
yeah.
They may have their cell phone shut off just to save the battery on it. Who knows? So, I've seen Jeff's bedroom in an apartment before when he lived in Nacogdoches, and it looks like an earthquake had already hit his place. Everything is already on the floor.
Not where I live now. It's not.
Oh, so you're tidy now?
Well, no, I'm able to afford a cleaning lady to come in once a month.
On a teacher's salary?
I didn't say I paid her a lot. I just said I was able to afford her.
Ah.
So, I had to get that one in there, Jeff.
What was this one you found behind the Home Depot?
No, I've never been behind a Home Depot.
I find that a complete lie, but okay.
I've been to a Home Depot, but I make sure that I never go behind it. I won't even drive behind one.
Again, complete lie. Anyway,
no,
Kevin.
No, you prove it.
Oh, man. So how's things been going your way, Matt? It's hot as hell down here.
It's actually not too bad. You know what? First off, I do have to say happy belated birthday. Well, we celebrated it today, but that's why when you guys called me, I was wrapping up with at my parents' house. It was my dad's 65th birthday party. So,
oh, wow.
Happy birthday to my dad. Love you. And all of us have bellies, complete bellies full of Mexican food. And then got the brilliant idea to go back to my parents' house and have dessert. That was not a good idea. But it happened. But anyway, happy birthday to 65th birthday to my dad. It was on the 21st, but we did the celebration today. Other than that, I had a really, really, really cool experience yesterday, and I don't know if you guys have ever experienced this. I personally haven't. Remember the video from 2012 of the meteor that came through by Russia?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was in 2013, actually.
Oh, it was 13, yeah. You're right.
Yep.
Well, last night I was at Tokyo Bay, my favorite sushi place, and was with a dear friend, Heather Irish. We were sitting there hanging out, sitting outside, having a couple glasses of wine, hanging out with the owner, and I was facing out towards the parking lot. Well, the reason that I bring up the Russia meteor video, as you're watching it go through the sky, it gets real bright, and then it pulses as it's breaking up. I saw that last night. Not on that scale, but on a small scale. It wasn't a firework. It wasn't anything. It was, in this area, there was supposed to be a meteor shower. Well, this thing came screaming through the air. Where I was sitting, it was about 150 feet off the ground, and it did the same thing where it was bright, it pulsed, it was bright again, and then it simmered out to nothing. Within seconds of that, you heard this boom, to where it shook the window behind me. So it was like a very small-scale version of what happened in Russia that I saw like right in front of my face. I've never seen a shooting star. Except for when I was little, and I didn't even know about this when I was talking to my family about it tonight. I didn't even know about this, but when I guess I was little, probably like 4, 5, 6, somewhere in there, we were on an airplane, and we had a shooting star that was parallel to the airplane that we saw out the window, and I guess I witnessed, but I was too young to actually commit it to memory. But, yeah, no, it was just it was a real cool experience. It was, and just to give everybody an idea, like, where I was is in kind of a strip mall, like it's Tokyo Bay and then Panera, and on the backside there's other stuff. Across the parking lot is a movie theater. And it was bright enough that it illuminated the complete parking lot.
Damn.
Nothing paranormal, just something cool.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Then I had a paranormal experience later. Because I went out and saw my friend Audrey, the one that I talk about on the urban legend thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Heather and I hopped in my Jeep, and we went out there. Jeff, I don't think I ever told you about this, but Kevin, I know I told you. Remember when I said that I was out there with Samantha and Mark, and we asked for something extravagant and big to happen, and then the car flew off the road?
Yeah.
I was that car last night.
Oh, really?
It was, the hell was that?
I don't know.
I ended up, we were driving on the road. I didn't come in the normal way. I ended up missing the turn. So I turned around and came in the back way. That curve comes up so fast that Heather and I flew into the field. It's 45 mile an hour speed limit. I was paying attention, and I still missed the turn.
Damn.
I'll tell you one thing though. A Jeep Wrangler on 33-inch Mickey Thompson's. That farmer is not going to be happy in the morning. Because I have a whole bunch of soybean that's all over the undercarriage of my Jeep. So, Mr. or Miss Farmer, whoever you are that owns that field, I do sincerely apologize. It was not intentional. But no, I went out there and did. I hadn't been out there in a while. I haven't talked to Audrey or Tim, the chief spirits that we picked up out there. Haven't talked to or heard from them in a while. So just wanted to pop out there and be like, hey, you know, what's up? Don't think that we forgot about you, this, that, and the other thing. Every time I bring a female out there, I get sobbing on the EVP.
Hmm.
Hmm.
I get a woman sobbing every time that I have another female that's out there. What's your guys' thoughts on that?
And it's only when you go out to this location it does it?
It's only when I go out to location with a female. If it's just guys, we get EVPs. If there's a woman out there, I get, like, sobbing. It's loud enough to where I don't have to run it through anything. I can play it through the speaker. I can listen to it. And we're talking an area that's in the middle of two farm fields. You can't even see the farmhouse of the person that owns the property or any houses around. But it's clear as day, a woman sobbing.
I don't know.
Maybe whatever spirit's out there is sad when there's a female with you. Because they have a crush on you? I don't know.
What's kind of messed up about that is I've actually been told that from Jeff Resman, from Dennis, from that she is, like, anytime that I go out there, she leeches to me. Not attaches to me, she leeches to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and all these people that I talked to, whether it was Chelsea DeMolle, Dennis, Jeff Resman, Tracy Ann, who don't talk to each other, all of them said the exact same thing, that she, like, you're the only person who's ever acknowledged or cared about her, so that's why she ties herself to you.
Well, that, and, you know, I've noticed a lot of times spirits, like, because they can read your energy, you know, and if your energy and the way your personality is, whatnot, you could resemble somebody that they cared about when they were alive as well. That's another thing that can happen.
Well, I guess from what they said is she has told them that she doesn't want to lose me because I'm the only person who's ever cared about her.
Hmm. No, that makes
but
sense.
Here's my kind of issue with that. She was somebody's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She was somebody's sister.
Right.
Why, if in fact it's true, this is just all hypothetical, of course.
Right.
Why would I be the only person to ever care about her, or why would she feel that way?
I don't know.
I have all of her whole complete police report from her murder investigation. It actually,
mm-hmm.
it did happen. It was a true thing that happened.
Well,
so, if she's saying that I'm the only person, or she attaches to me because I'm the only person who cares about her, why would she feel like that? That's what bugs me more than her being attached to me.
What strikes me is that, like you said, she feels that way because that might be the reason why she hasn't crossed. Because she thinks that no one cared about her, whether they did and she was never told that, you know, no one ever told her that they loved her or whatever it might be, you know, betrayal throughout her life. What strikes me is if she says that could be what is really holding her kind of, you know, earthbound spirit kind of stuck until she realizes, because we've come across spirits that have crossed and they don't say things like that. You know, they're pretty much, they're very loving. You know, they don't, even some of the people that had some bad things that they did or whatever on this earth. And, of course, this is all speculation from me as well because, you know, we don't really know the gist of anything on the other side, right? I'm just expressing my experience because people out there go, well, how does he know? I don't. But I'm just saying from experience, I've seen spirits that have crossed, and they don't have that kind of attitude, I guess you could say, you know? So it kind of strikes me that she says that. That might be why she's still kind of around. And so it's interesting because I don't know. I mean, there's something that must have gone on in her life that she thinks that no one cared about her.
Well, Tim, her boyfriend at the time, who we've gotten an angry, angry, angry male voice out there, which I think is probably him. It would make sense. He ended up, about 2 years after she passed away, he offed himself. Nobody thinks it has to do with guilt or whatever, reading his police report, like, he went on and had another relationship and all that kind of stuff, but I think with him offing himself, it was just more chemically induced that he decided it was a good idea to put the barrel of a gun in his mouth.
Now, question, how long was he with her before she passed away?
It was about 6 months, if I remember. Mark has a police report, but going through...
Well, I'm wondering, even though he went on to have another relationship, because, I mean, we all know people that are like this, too. They seem fine, they try to move on, but they have something down deep that is just eating them away on the inside. I'm just wondering, not an admission of guilt, but... of guilt for, you know, the murder or whatever, but admission of guilt that if he could have done something or whatever, she would still be alive. You know what I'm saying? That kind of guilt. the woulda, coulda, shoulda kind of thing. And that might have led him down the path of drugs, alcohol, whatever he might have been doing to ultimately end his demise. So her death could have affected him.
He was a gangbanger.
No. Well, that makes sense.
And she was kind of a lost soul that ended up being with him because she was a bad boy. I mean, she was 23 years old. So I'm sorry if there's anybody who's 23 years old that's listening to the show right now, but you don't make the best decisions. I didn't. I'm only 33, and I look back at when I was 29, I'm like, why in the fuck did I do that? But I did it. He learned from experience. Her experience, unfortunately, caused her to be taken from this earth.
Right.
So, it's something that just constantly, you know, and I'm going to give a word of advice to you. All the paranormal investigators who are listening to the show right now and all that. This is truly a perfect example of if you come across a case that has something to do with your, that hits you or tugs on the right heartstrings, it is going to personally consume you. This is the one that I've been on that is going to personally consume me for the rest of my life because I got emotionally involved with it because of her story. That is not something that I should have done.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also invested enough at this point that I can't just walk away.
Right.
So that was a mistake that I made. That's a mistake that I'm still living with. This has been years. And I still go out there just to let her know that I still care because of her story. The problem is that she's still there. Not that I don't want to, you know, don't want to have her cross over or don't want to, you know, see her gone from there because I truly, honestly, 100% do. I don't get enough information to know how to do it. For a lot of people, they'll just write it off and just be like, well, you know, whatever. Went out there, oh, we got some cool stuff. Or, you know, went out there a couple more times. We keep getting cool stuff, but they don't have the emotional attachment to it that I've gotten on this due to every EVP I got is about somebody not caring about her. Every visual, every remote read that Dennis has done is just horrid. I mean, he got to the point where he was punched in the face so hard remotely, and he's in Virginia. And this is in Oswego, Illinois. He was punched in the face so hard that his eyes were tearing, and I could physically hear him in pain. And that's just a remote view. That's just a glimpse, an indication of what this person went through.
Well, yeah, man. That's crazy. It's just crazy how when people do remote views that stuff can happen.
Well, I kind of laughed about it when it happened. At Dennis's expense, I should say, just because it was so out of the blue, and like I didn't actually believe it until he sent me a picture of his whole nose area and his eyes and stuff being puffed up and red. Like if you get knocked right in the nose, your eyes water. You're not exactly happy, and I know that. And Kevin, you know this too, and Jeff, you know this as well. I don't think Dennis would go to the extreme of punching himself in the face to send me a picture of it and be like, yeah, this happened, and try and fake something like that.
Right. That's an interesting case.
Yeah, I mean, it's... Here's the other thing is when Heather was out there and she's not, like, she's not very strong, but she has, like, premonitions and abilities and stuff. You can hear during our audio session when she, after she asked what happened, and I didn't tell her about anything that happened with Audrey until after we left. And I have only been friends with her for, let's say, in the ballpark of, like, 2 weeks. She knew nothing about it. Like, the only reason that I brought it up to her is I said, hey, you know, we're going out to, I'm like, yeah, you want to go grab some sushi and, you know, and have a drink or two or something like that and hang out? And while we were at dinner, I said, yeah, so there's a place not far from here where I was checking out an urban legend, and we actually got stuff from there. That's what I told her about it, and she's like, hell yeah, let's go. She was out there, and you can hear on our audio session, she completely changes, and she's like, nope, I'm out. I'm out of here. I am out. And that's when the sobbing comes. Not from Heather, because she was fine. But there's this sobbing for 2 minutes, 37 seconds is how long it lasts of a young girl sounding just sobbing. And I got that on the voice recorder on my phone. I didn't have a digital recorder. I didn't have, you know, Sony. I didn't have my H4N. I didn't have anything quality out there. I had, well, I mean, it's the Galaxy S4, so I mean, it's still quality, but that's all I had was my phone. We listened to the audio when we were driving back into town from out of the sticks. We had to turn it off because it was hard to listen to.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I'm on my meds. They've got me looped and about to fall asleep, probably.
Well, asshole, sorry to bore you so much.
No, I really did take some pain meds and a muscle relaxer earlier to deal with this damn neck spasming.
You think what you're saying?
You sound like I did on morphine when I called from the hospital.
Well, I'm not on morphine, so no.
Yeah, you're pretty spot on, Kevin. That's pretty much how you sounded.
But I'm not on morphine.
It doesn't matter.
You're on a painkiller, so you sound just like I did when I called from the hospital.
I've always said the morphine, the better. But, yeah, I know, stupid joke, but. So, Jeff, what are you on exactly right now?
I don't know my normal stuff. I took you know, some extra strength Tylenol and a muscle relaxer.
Extra strength as in Tylenol 3 that has codeine?
I wish.
Oh. Dude, you shouldn't be stupid right now. Even a muscle relaxer is just going to make it calm.
I am calm. Also sleepy.
Dude, you smoke a joint or something along with that? Oh, no,
I don't do that. Even if it was legal, I wouldn't do it.
Well, you're a teacher. You get drug tested anyway.
Well, even if you didn't, I wouldn't do it.
You're getting fired tomorrow. They're going to test you and you're going to get... Well, what is this in your system? Why is your urine the color of gold?
I got prescription, bitches.
is that liquid copper or is that urine? No, that's pee.
Well, if it's me, it's going to be gold because I'm gold.
So, Kevin.
Yeah.
I didn't want to comment on that.
Right?
Kevin's on cloud 9 right now. I didn't want to bring him back down to earth.
Yeah, well, I just have to give any opportunity that I can poke fun at Jeff, I take that opportunity. I've done it for, God, how long has it been now? Let's see, 23 years.
Something like that.
Yeah.
How the hell have I put up with your ass?
I don't know how I've dealt with you for 23 years of my life.
Well,
that's more than half my life I've dealt with you.
Well, I'm easy to deal with, though. Matt, you got my back here. Am I easy to deal with?
Oh, yeah.
See, there you go.
Oh, do you want me to tell people about what you confided in me with your dream?
No.
Oh, God. You got that text too, man.
Yes, I did.
Oh, my God. I got that text and I was like, well, I was at work. And I think it was with the customer when I got that text because I did say what the fuck out loud.
So did I. I turned to one of my coworkers who had been working with me for 2 days because we just hired him on. I was sitting there, I grabbed my phone, I just busted up laughing. I'm like, what in the fuck is wrong with this dude? And he looked at me and he's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, no, don't worry about it. He's like, oh, come on, man. He's like, you know, he thought it was somebody at work that sent me a text or whatever, like somebody else on the complex. I'm like, no, it's got nothing to do with that. He's like, oh, come on, man. He's like, I'm the new guy. I don't want to be, like, left out of jokes. I'm like, here, read this. I just tossed him my phone. He goes, what the fuck?
How do you think I felt when I dreamt it?
Well, all right. Here's the question, though. Was that an actual dream, or was that just Jeff being Jeff sending out random stupid shit?
It was, well, first of all, nothing I say or do is stupid. Well, second of all, no, it was a real dream. And I woke up as soon as that dream was over, and I went, the hell was that all about?
I think you had some hidden desires down in your subconscious that came out in that dream.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I do. Because, you know, our brain, you know, works in mysterious ways, especially the subconscious mind. And when you're in REM state and in a dream, your desires manifest themselves in the dream.
And technically, I'm a psychologist, and I'll back up what Kevin just said.
That's when you have fucked up dreams like that. You don't tell nobody.
I had to tell somebody, because I was hoping somebody would offer some perspective
on it.
The perspective on it is anybody that you were to tell that dream to is going to have the same reaction Matt and I had.
What the fuck?
Like I said, how do you think I felt? I'm the one that dreamt it.
All right, and Jeff, I apologize if that offended you when I said stupid shit. What I meant by that was, and I'm not going to say what the text was, but you'll know what I'm referring to. It has to do with the chocolate.
You mean peanut butter?
Well, yeah, it's peanut butter and chocolate.
There you go.
But yeah, that's kind of what I was referring to as far as stupid, because I know that just came out of somewhere in your brain hole that you're like, yeah, I gotta fuck with him.
Well, it is
Kevin,
something I would do, but no, unfortunately, that was a real dream that I worry me sometimes.
Well, the awesome thing about dreams is it's never, you may sit and look at yourself and be like, what in the hell just happened? Like, truthfully, you wake up and you're confused of where that came from. Well, your brain being as awesome of a thing as it is, compiles information because it doesn't have the ability to sort when it's non-selected.
Right.
So when you dream, your brain's not saying, like, you don't have to recall something like you're taking a test in school. It's just a whole bunch of information that gets thrown together. And then whatever kind of concoction that comes out of it is what happens when you dream. But, I was doing a study on dream analysis recently, and I want to ask you this as far as that goes. I know you remember the basis of what the dream was, of what you sent us a text message. Do you remember details or no?
I remember I walked in and actually probably said out loud, "What the fuck?" And then dream was over.
But you can't remember the specifics about it, like the actual dream itself, right?
Do what?
I said you can't remember the specifics about the dream, like now,
no,
compared to when you sent us that text message, right?
No, I remember it just as vividly now as I did then. My eyes are getting weary.
What the
hell's going on there?
He must be getting text.
I was.
So no, the reason I asked that is because your brain will remember a dream vividly most of the time. And this is a question for both of you. You ever been in a situation where you wanted to remember a dream and you tried to tell somebody about it, but then you lost your train of thought of what actually happened in the dream?
Nope.
Yeah.
Do you remember every dream, every detail, all the time?
Well, no, I don't remember because you know, well, the majority of the dreams I do have it, and I just don't remember them.
Well, we dream every night.
Yeah.
It's just certain states of sleep of where your brain is shut down.
But when I am able to remember them, it's in there.
Yeah, and what's happening is what you're remembering is because your brain is not fully asleep at that point.
Yeah.
The parts that you can't remember of the time when it completely shuts down. Like, I had a horrible, horrible nightmare a couple days ago. I don't know or remember the actual details of it. I just know that it sucked. And it was one that I woke up at 4 in the morning. I didn't fall back asleep until 6:15 because I didn't want to enter that realm again. I didn't want to have that or continue that experience. It was that bad.
Right.
Wow. Just to me, it's few and far between that I'll have a dream that I'll wake or that'll wake me up in the middle of the night, and I won't want to go back to sleep because of how crazy the dream was and how impacting it was.
Right.
And I think it's because of the messed up shit that you sent me in that text message.
That's the one thing about Jeff. You never know day, night, whenever you might just get a fucked up text from him.
Hell yeah.
I love it. I love it.
He is very, very random with his text.
And you send him at the perfect times because there's always some, like, shit going on in the middle, like if I'm at work and something negative's happening or I'm frustrated or whatever, you mm-hmm. always send the text message that I look at it and I'm like, what? I stop what I'm doing, and it actually helps me.
There you go. See, it's not just pointless stuff. It's got a point to it.
Wow.
I used to be able to time when I would send Kevin's. I'd send him something really disgusting, like right as he's eating dinner.
Yeah. Yeah, you bastard. I don't know how many times you made me throw away what I was eating because you got me so disgusted.
You're welcome for not having diabetes.
The mental images that you can paint, they're very scarring to my brain.
Hell yeah, they are.
So, I'm going to tell everybody this. Within the listening area of your school district, parents, turn the show off right now. Because you don't want the mental image of this person teaching your children.
Oh, man.
I'm amazed.
You know, I'll throw this out there for Mr. Brian, because I think this is cool as shit. I'm going to have to get with him about booking some of the guests that he has got coming on his show. I know Jeff doesn't know the show because I told him earlier, prior to us going on air, but September 11th on Onyx Nights Paranormal Radio, Brian will have Les Stroud from Survivor Man.
Oh, nice. He did the Bigfoot show also. Or it was him and somebody else running through the forest.
Yep. So that's pretty cool. I was like, man, how do you get a hold of these people? I just asked. I said, well, hell, it's not the problem of me asking. It's being able to find a way to contact them. Because believe it or not, when I've been doing the bookings for our show and the Terrify show, and I go through the internet and I look at different talent agencies, this, that, and other people in the paranormal that I don't know that I want to talk to. Some of them don't have Facebook pages or a website, so I can't get a hold of them to even ask them if they want to be on the show.
Well, that's like with me for Full Spectrum on Wednesdays. I've had a lot of people that don't have Facebook pages and are well known. That's kind of going through the channels is how I found the the Wendy's girl, Morgan, who it looks like she's going to be on the.
Oh, she's going to be on the show?
She's going to be, should be the first week of September.
Yeah, you got an anniversary towards the end of September.
Yes, I know. Which I did talk to the amazing and gorgeous Sarah Labrie, and she's probably going to be joining for that anniversary show.
That'll be awesome. I can't believe you've been on for 2 years.
No shit.
That's nuts.
What the fuck was that?
I have no idea.
That was a text.
But yeah, I'm talking to one guy. He's actually from Texas, Jeff. I'm not going to mention his name or anything until I get him booked. He is into the crypto, but he's also, his job, he's an archaeologist. And he's actually on a dinosaur dig right now.
Ooh,
so,
what is that going to be?
He told me when he gets back to Texas sometime next week, he'd get with me and we'd set a date.
You're going to go on a date with this guy?
No, booking for the show, you moron.
Oh.
I got a UFO. I hate using the word expert, but UFO investigator, I guess you could say, pretty well known, coming on here next month, I believe. But yeah, I've been hitting it hard and heavy and getting this lined up with people. I hit Scott Grunewald up and sent him some dates, but he hasn't gotten back to me, and that's usually natural for him. He's a busy dude.
Ooh. I have an idea.
What?
I know it's going to be kind of a weird idea. Just to make sure that he's okay, how about I call him right now? Then we can all check in on him. All right, I will be right back.
All right. Jeff, what are you doing?
Laying here.
You're not completely asleep because I can hear you clicking over there on the computer on your end.
Yeah, just...
You guys there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the personal voice mailboxes.
Okay. Is everybody still there?
Yeah. I'm still here.
Yeah, sorry. I didn't want to, since that was his personal phone, I didn't want to have the full voicemail go.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, he's got two phones. He has his personal number, and he has his other get in touch with me, Scott number.
Right.
Isn't that a personal number?
Not really. That's the public number that anybody calls. Sometimes he'll answer, sometimes he won't.
Right.
So, but I just didn't want to have the information that's in the personal voicemail got broadcast. So.
Yeah. Very, very true.
I once read Outlaw's number out on the air by accident.
Yeah, dumbass.
I did say by accident.
I know,
wait.
But I also said, yeah, dumbass.
Whose number?
Outlaw's.
Outlaw. Mine. I'm the paranormal outlaw, you fuck.
Well, I know that. I thought he said Red Outlaws. That's why I didn't know. You fuck.
That would be a name for a barbecue joint, by the way.
Oh, man.
But just to show everybody that I ain't scared, you can always feel free to call me at 331-251-4621. That is my cell phone number. So, there you go.
That is correct.
Cool.
We were having good conversation, and then it just went to shit pretty quick.
Yeah, it did. Well, you know what, fuckers? Bring up some topics, then.
Well, I'm thinking, currently thinking of what we could talk about. You know, this is kind of a fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants show, you know, because things happen in the world, and that's life. Our guests do have their own lives, so they've got to take care of themselves first. And the good thing is I sent Christina a Facebook message and said, you know, hopefully everything's okay with you and your family, and if you want to reschedule, next Sunday is still open. So hopefully we can move her to next Sunday.
So, all right. I've been getting positive, or I've seen positive and negative things about this, and wondering what your guys' opinion is of the ice bucket challenge.
No, we were just talking about that. Jeff, you can go ahead.
Yeah, I actually got challenged to that today. But see, my schedule is so hectic that I've got to have more than 24 hours advance notice. So I'm actually going to wait until payday before I do that, and I'll do the whole bucket thing and donate money as well.
Kevin, what's your opinion?
The way I look at it is, I mean, it's for a good cause, and they're raising money. It's been successful, so, hey, if it's good for a good cause and helping people in the long run, so be it, you know?
Kiss and Def Leppard both did the Ice Bucket Challenge in one of their concerts this last week.
Oh, wow.
Who helped the drummer?
I think it was road crew people dumping buckets on the band members.
Now what? All right. So here's the hate mail that I've been getting about it. It has to do with celebrities and, you know, calling celebrities out and doing what they're doing. And, oh, wow, they dumped a bucket of water over themselves. And, all right, the whole point of the challenge isn't just because, hey, we're going to dump water over and it's going to cure Lou Gehrig's disease for people who don't know what ALS is. There is no cure for it. It's to help with the research for the cure for it. it's a very degenerative disease. It's not something that's easily dealt with as with the individual or the family members involved with it, the person that contracts it or that has it. So for what happens with Lou Gehrig's disease is you lose pretty much everything in your body.
Yep.
The whole point of the challenge is to take it's a momentary part or momentary portion of discomfort and sympathy along with donating the money of, hey, I'm willing to help. This is something like it's awesome. Like when you get called out, okay, you have 24 hours to do the challenge or donate. Well, 90% of the people that do the challenge are also donating. Kind of like, for the people who are talking shit about it and scrutinizing the whole idea of what it is in the Ice Bucket Challenge, of like, oh, look, it's just something that's gone viral. Why don't you scrutinize and talk shit about St. Baldrick's?
Now, I got, and neither one of you know this, so this will, when I went to Stephen F. Austin State University here in Texas, I pledged in a fraternity, Phi Delta Theta, which is a national organization. We've been around since, the 1800s, and we have a lot of famous alumni that were in our fraternity, and Lou Gehrig was in our fraternity. So our national that we raise money for is ALS. So I'm very aware of the disease, it's something that I was used to in college, always doing fundraisers for. So for people out there that have a problem with it, come on. It's not – hell, I've had buckets of ice water dumped on me when the varsity football team that I helped coach, we won state, and it was – 25 degrees with a 30-40 mile an hour wind, and we all still got ice buckets dumped on us for winning the state championship of Texas. And of course, football down here is huge. So, come on, it's not something that's going to hurt nobody. People are donating; it's for a good cause. So, shut the hell up.
Here's the other thing too: is because of Facebook and people being able to post, whatever they want, basically. From last year's numbers to this year's numbers, as far as what has been raised for the research, just in donation, is now 1,475% up for the foundation from last year.
Yep, that's great.
1,475%. Not 14%.
I mean, what's funny is October, I'm going back to my college, Stephen F., for the homecoming weekend, and it's a 20-year reunion for me and the guys that pledged in the fraternity, like our pledge class, and we've been friends ever since. Real close friend, and we're all going back for a reunion. So I may have to just walk up in our fraternity house, and anybody that has not done the ice bucket challenge, I may just walk around with a bucket of ice and water and dump it on their ass.
That would be awesome.
Oh, but, you haven't donated yet, bitch? Here you go. Boop.
Hey, speaking of the Ice Bucket Challenge, did you guys see Nancy Resman Jeff and Nancy Resman. Nancy, did you see her video about the what her challenge was and what she did? Nancy has, or Jeff and Nancy have somebody in their neighborhood who has ALS, and that's you know, a wife, a mother, a great woman. What their neighborhood did is they got together and instead of doing, you know, pouring ice over each other and this, that, and the other thing, they, as a community, they got together and they put that if you got called out, you would have a bunch of pink flamingos in your front yard. And then it was a donation that went to this woman that has ALS. Well, ALS at the point of where she was so degenerative that she lost pretty much all mobility. So with the flamingo thing that they did in their community where they live, just all of the neighbors and you know, people in that subdivision area that got together, once they got called out, they made their donation. They were able to raise enough money to get her a little, like, rascal kind of scooter to get around. So the family couldn't afford it, but everybody kind of banded together. Instead of doing the bucket or donating to the foundation, they found somebody locally who they care about and wanted to help. Actually donate it towards that to help that person and did a life-changing thing for this person. That, to me, is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it is.
Like, I have to say, you know, with Jeff, who has his own medical issues, but for them to, you know, band together, and that's what their challenge was to everybody else, is they didn't dump ice over their heads, they didn't dump water. Their challenge was to find somebody local that has this condition, to learn about it more, and help that person. If you can't find somebody who has it locally in your community that you can talk to or doesn't want to talk about it, the person they help is more than willing to talk to anybody about it and isn't asking for anything, but they're offering to give education about what it actually is. That, I'm sorry, but it kind of, it chokes me up. But to me, that is progress to help. I mean, to physically, like, people don't donate to charities because they don't know where their money's going to. Well, if you see something come up, like, I mean, I do Ride for Kids every year, where donate money, go on a big motorcycle ride. It's for the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation. This year, when we did Ride for Kids, there was 27,000 bikes that showed up and went on the ride and did all that and, you know, donated all this money and this, that, and the other thing, and raffled off all these prizes. Well, not saying I wouldn't do it again, but thought in the back of most people's mind is, where does the money go to? Like, I donate to the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation, but is it going to the kids or is it going to the doctors to do the research? Is it going to, like, nobody knows the actual delegation of what your donation is. But finding somebody in your community and helping them the best way that they can, you know what you're doing. You know where everything's going because you're doing it for somebody that you're going to see on a daily basis or a weekly basis or whatever. So I was extremely impressed and extremely moved in what they did for it. Yeah, I jumped in a kiddie pool. Dennis, I think, who still has the best video I've ever seen as far as extravagance when it comes to the ice bucket challenge. Jackass. But no, when it really comes down to it, whatever that we donated, that we don't see it. Jeff and Nancy get to see how it helps. The whole community in that area gets to see how it helps. And they have a better knowledge of what Wikipedia says. So
right.
That's my piece. I'm done with my rant. I thought that was absolutely amazing.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
I just saw
at least I wasn't bitching.
Right. I saw somebody post just now on Facebook about a 16-year-old that caught a bass, a bluegill, and a catfish sewer fishing by his home. So
oh,
we're catching fish down in the sewer?
Dude, that's been going on for a long time.
That's crazy. I mean, I can imagine, but he's holding up a bass. I'm like, I went to a lake today, and I caught a few bass, but damn, the one he caught was bigger than some of the ones I caught. Damn it.
You're fishing the wrong hole.
Apparently so. Well, speaking of, I'll tell you this funny story that happened last month on my bass tournament weekend. My coworker that's been going with me because my dad had broken his arm and is still trying to heal from that. So he's kind of stepped in. We were out on the lake, and Jeff knows this lake. We were on Lone Star Lake, and he had – Jeff, are you still there or you passed out already?
I'm barely here.
But we were fishing, and it was, you know, 2 or 3 hours into the tournament, we're fishing, and all of a sudden he goes, dude, I got a shit. I was like, well, there ain't no place around here. You know, there's no, like, public restroom or whatnot. And we were over by the steel plant. And he goes, just take me over there to the bank, which was the steel plant's property, right? And they got security and all that shit over there. And he goes up this big-ass hill on the other side, and there's, you could see that there was, like, old warehouses and stuff. I don't know if they still use that shit or not. But I just see him disappear, and he comes back, and he starts coming down the hill, and he has no socks on. I said, dude, where's your socks? He goes, well, hell, I had to wipe my ass with something. And I damn near fell out of that boat laughing.
Gross.
But that's funny, man. I mean, you know, how many people you know wipe their butt with a sock? Oh, it'd be even funnier if he got caught on surveillance doing that.
I stick with my previous comment. Gross.
Oh, hush. You can't find the funniness in that, man. Come on.
Oh, no, it's amusing.
Well, and he still had one sock. He said, I got one for a spare.
Oh. Wait, what?
He had taken his socks off, and he used one of them, and when he came back down, he didn't have either one on, and I said, where's your socks? And he pulled one out of his pocket and said, well, I got one still for a spare, but I had to use the other one.
Nice.
So this week, today, I actually took a roll of toilet paper with us. sorry, I was just trying to throw out a little bit of humor there, and apparently it failed miserably, but it's okay. I got one over there that's high on drugs and probably almost passed out on his keyboard. And then I got another one that just says gross. Oh, yeah. Oh. Matt, I'm still in your word now. That's gross.
I'm not going to say no. What Kevin and I got, but I will tell you this. Could be a fly on the wall for anybody, if anybody is still listening. Kevin summed it up properly.
Where does he come up with these things? I just don't. You got some twisted ass mind, Jeff.
Yes, I do.
I'm hoping it's because of the drugs.
Nope. I wish I could play on that, but I can't.
Oh my goodness! And for anybody that is still with us or had tuned in late, Christina George is not with us, obviously, tonight. They had an earthquake over in California and haven't been able to get a hold of her, so hopefully everything's okay with her and her family, and we will reschedule her to come on. So just my public announcement this late in the show.
Well, since she couldn't join us, why don't you give a little bit of background on who Christine is so next week or whatever the reschedule is that people will know what they're calling it or listening in for.
Yeah, Christina is a great friend of mine. She was on the show a couple years back. And I just recently had her back on Terrify, and she also said, yeah, I want to come on the Sunday show as well. So, Christina is a psychic medium. She's very good at what she does. She doesn't charge a dime for what she does, and she tries to help people as much as she can. She has a team, PPRS, which is a paranormal team that's got, when she first started it, it had nothing but psychics on it, but talking to her last week, they've added some skeptics to the mix to kind of keep a balance, you know, so people don't go, well, it's just a team of psychics, then, you know how that goes. But she's in California, and she's been doing this a great number of years, and she's got a great heart, great personality, and she would do anything for anybody. So that's her in a nutshell without actually reading her credentials on air right now. I'll do that when she actually comes on.
So for sure, when she's rescheduled and says, yeah, I'm in, definitely a show to check out, hear more about her, learn more about her.
Mm-hmm.
Because who knows if you may one day need her.
Yeah, and like I said, we had a great show Tuesday. It's kind of funny that on Tuesday
my co-hosts are female, and then on Sunday my co-hosts are male, and that's what me and Christine were laughing about. So Tuesday I didn't have to do much talking, because when you have Miss Tasha and Miss Melissa on there with a female guest, they you know how women are, boy. They just they get after it with talking. I it was hard for me to get a word in Tuesday. It was a great show. We talked about a lot, dealing with psychics, and I mean we talked about what she's picked up about what goes on after we leave our physical body, and so you know we kind of a philosophical things that we were talking about as well, from some of the evidence that we have gathered over the years. You know, it's kind of like getting little tiny pieces to a huge-ass puzzle, and you have to just put one little tiny piece in there at a time. And it was great because Melissa, she has psychic abilities, but she has no control on them. She's not on a paranormal team, but she wants to help people, and she wants to learn more about herself. And so Christina, and that's something else Christina does. She mentors children that have psychic abilities along with the parents of children. So the parents understand what these kids go through. So she does that, and she mentors other people that have ability. And we were talking about how, and I'm sure in your show, Matt, and Jeff from this show, you guys know that a lot of people that we've talked to that are legitimately psychic, that have ability, some sort of ability. Now, because everybody has different abilities, you know, some can see, some can hear, whatnot. But a lot of the people that we've interviewed on the show develop their abilities later in life. I mean, they might have had them when they were childhood, and then it kind of went away. They kind of closed off, and then something happened, either a near-death experience or something traumatic happened to them, and all of a sudden the abilities come back, and they come back even stronger. And that's the case with Christina. She had a near-death experience, and her abilities like 10 times themselves. After this event, and this was later in her life too, so a lot of interesting topics that we talked about. I mean, we could have easily gone another hour in the archives with that show.
Which will not be the case in this said show.
No.
We hit the 2-hour mark, and it's like, all right, guys, have a good night.
Yeah, you know.
Jeff's going to fall asleep before anyway.
Well, that's one reason that we don't go in the archives, because by the time the 2-hour mark hit, Jeff's almost nearly comatose. So if we did go into the archives, Jeff would be snoring, and I'd be the only one talking with whoever we had on the show. That was before you came along, Matt, but before that was the case. So, you know, unless something's really going on, I mean, we probably could have stretched, you know, Jeff had more body parts that probably could have called in that one night. We probably could have stretched it out even longer. Yeah. Which right now all of his body parts have checked out, and they've turned their cell phones off, and they're not calling in because they're probably passing out.
But I don't blame them.
Especially the I guess it was the stomach that was in love with his ass. I don't remember. But, yeah. And see, Jeff, you can tell Jeff is drugged up because he's not inserting any kind of comments.
This is the part of the show where we can sit here and really talk shit about him, and he wouldn't say anything.
Well, I would go back and listen to what you just said. I'm waiting to hear a snore, to be honest with you, but I would go back and listen to what you just said as far as Jeff and insertion. I don't want to hear those. Yeah. I don't want to hear those two words in a sentence ever again.
Well, you got to blame him because that text that he just sent a while ago, it's got my mind all fucked up. I'm telling you, he puts like scars, like little scratches on my brain every time he sends something really messed up. It just gets me all messed up mentally. Because then I have these I get these mental images of what he just said, and I want to throw up.
Both of you guys too. Keep an eye on the board. I did send a text message out, and we may possibly have a caller shortly. It's going to be a 702 area code if that person has time to call in.
Jeff just said, "I can hear you, fuckers. I'm just unable to respond."
What kind of drugs are you on that fucked up your mouth to where you can't talk?
Either that or he's on the potty.
First off, I love those drugs and keep taking them, but for your own personal, I would truthfully consult your physician about that. I've never heard of a side effect of somebody's vocal cords not functioning. That might be something serious that you probably are going to want to have looked at.
Oh, God, what did he say now? I'm too tired to speak.
I've never heard of a radio show announcer that has to text the other guy on the show for him to read out the response because he can't speak himself.
Jeff, feel free to send us a text of anything that you want to say, and we will cover your lazy ass and relay it for you.
Oh, God. I watched the board. My computer's slow, so it doesn't instantly pop up when somebody calls. They might be on hold for 5 minutes before my studio shows that they're actually on hold. But I'm watching.
Well, Jeff says that's how special I am. So, Jeff.
Hey, Matt, have you ever done a show where we have to read what the other co-host is saying on air through text because they can't speak themselves?
I've never done that, but when Dennis and I got into a show one time, and it was, for people, I'm pretty certain nobody's listening, so I'm just going to say it, fuck it. With Dennis and I, we were going back and forth. And the guest that we had, and I'm not going to say who it was, but the guest that we had was so boring. Oh, my God, you want to slit your wrist just listening to this person. Everything that Dennis would send me in private message, I was saying out loud on air. It wasn't nice.
We've had a couple of those when the first year we were doing this, and we were unexperienced, so we didn't know a lot of people. So when somebody would contact us, say, yeah, I'd want to be a guest on the show, we're like, okay, cool, somebody on the show, you know, without really finding out anything about them or whatnot. And God bless this person. They're a great person. But what they were talking about was very boring. And they talked the entire show pretty much. I think Jeff and I said maybe two sentences a piece in 2 hours. And they were talking about different sites that they, you know, you could go to. I'm not going to go into too detail because it'll give away for some people if they even know this person. But they were giving out different websites for different things. And, you know, a lot of websites are really long. And they actually, like, were spelling them out. Yeah. So Jeff and I spent probably the majority of that show texting back and forth.
Yeah. No, this was a situation to where it was one of our tribute shows that backfired. And it wasn't that it was bad in any sort of way. Like, the information was awesome, don't get me wrong, but it was something that we didn't know anything about. So if you have somebody who's talking on a slow pace and you can't give any information to pick it up, it was just you're just watching it go into demise. And the funniest thing about that is you talk to this person not on the show, very energetic, very articulate, very everything, but then it was like talking to a stuffy Englishman with a pipe talking about, you know, what the Queen's socks, how she likes them folded. So, I know it's a fucked up analogy, but that's exactly what it was like. It's like, oh yeah, you know, we have this going on, we have this this foundation, this promotion, and you know, stuff that we're trying to do, and all that, and they get on air, and it's like, well, she ended up liking a friend. Holy shit.
Off of Ferris Bueller. Bueller?
Yeah, exactly.
Bueller?
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I had a couple college professors like that, and I dreaded going to their class every day because it was a complete and utter struggle to stay awake because of how they delivered their lectures and some of the subject matter they were talked about. I was ready to fucking pull my hair out.
Well, and what was the class that you hated the most because of that?
It was not world history, but it was something on that nature. It was a history class, which I love history. Love history. But it was European history. Western civilization. That's what it was called. Western civilization. Western civ is what we called it. Oh my God. And you know, in college you got a date that you can drop the class before you can't drop it, you know, before it's too late.
Yeah.
And I had to drop that class. And I retook it the following semester with a different professor, which then I enjoyed the class. But this person was just – and it wasn't that he wasn't good. He's one of those dudes that he had no notes. He was so smart, he had no notes, and he walked in with a coffee mug. What did he say? Yes. What? Hold on here. Let's see what Jeff just said.
Oh, my God. Damn it, Jeff.
I got a 20.
No, sir. No, sir. He better watch what he texts, because I can speak and I can say things on air about him.
I think that one's worthy of actually calling out on air of what it says. So.
No. Mm-mm.
I just know
that Jeff likes smiley faces, especially smiley faces that have noses. I don't see what comment I get from that. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
All right. I'm going to leave names out of it, but it's just to give you an idea of why we're laughing. Yeah, I am going to call it out, and I'm gonna flip it so there is no confusion of who people are. Well, I want to create confusion, actually. So, so-and-so will lick so-and-so's balls live on air for $20. It's the Ball Licker Challenge to raise awareness for licking of testicles.
God.
So, everybody, that's the stuff that we are getting. And why we're laughing so hard about it, because it's so random and out of nowhere.
Damn. I really don't know where to go
after that. I really don't. I'm kind of speechless right now when it comes to where to take the show after that comment.
Oh, like I said, I got $20.
He took it straight to hell. He took it straight to hell with that comment. Wow.
That is pretty awesome. And it's not because
he's very lucky that I don't scroll back up in his messages and read his dream live on air.
I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Parents, I know it's back to school time. Don't send your kid to that school.
Wow.
Yeah, what? Kevin,
I'm going to leave out the name of the said person in the dream. I don't want them associated with this, whatever he is, but we'll just say it's a famous person.
You don't have to tell a dream, honestly. I would actually prefer you not to tell the dream.
Why? Because it gives you mental images. See, I told you. What those
dead texts do? No, it's not the mental images. It's not. Nobody will ever fucking listen to this show again.
Oh, that's true. Well, you just read the other.
Yeah, well, that's a little bit different. It's not. It's graphic, but it's not as holy shit as the dream.
That's true. I won't read it. Yeah. Just know that it's worse than what Matt read, if you want a comparison. And we actually did have, prior to our antics, till about 9 o'clock, we did have some listeners. They were here to listen to our guests. But luckily we weren't talking about anything grotesque at the time. We were talking about the spirit and what she was going through and so forth. So they missed all the graphic stuff later. Thank goodness.
That's awesome. I'm glad that they bugged out before it turned into what it turned into.
Yeah. Well, you know, it happens.
On a positive note, though, any events coming up in your area that you want to mention for people?
The only event that I'm aware of in the immediate area, I don't know the date. I know that it'll be in November, because she does it every November and April. You can go to Jefferson Ghost Tours on the web, Jefferson, Texas. It's Jefferson Ghost Tours. Miss Jody Breckenwood Ridge does a history, haunts, and legends paranormal convention, and she puts one on every fall and every spring, and so we got one coming up in November. She'll be posting all the information on there. And if you've never been to Jefferson, Texas, it's one of the top five most haunted towns in Texas. And I know from experience, because I've been there many, many, many times, been a lot of buildings there. Jeff has as well. And it is haunted. A lot of history there. So check it out. I'm giving Miss Jody a plug.
Also, if you're down in the Louisiana area, check out NOLA Ghost Tours. Chris and his crew put on an amazing, amazing walkthrough. It's not only just a walkthrough. You actually get to go into the places. You get equipment. You get to actually experience what all of us experience in the field. So, NOLA Ghost Tours.
Yeah, you can find them on Facebook. And if you ever watch the show Deep South Paranormal, Kevin Betzer is Chris's partner, helping with the ghost tours. So, if you ever watch that show, Kevin is also part of all that. So that's pretty much all the plugs I have.
All right. As far as what's going on in the Chicago area, Chicago Hauntings, hosted by the amazing Ursula Bielski, they're back in full effect as far as tours go. So if you're in the Chicago area at any point, or if you live here, I highly, highly suggest that you take one of her tours. The history will blow your mind, considering that Chicago wants to sweep all of it under the rug. Also coming up in November, the week before Thanksgiving, is Chicago Ghost Conference. Jeff Belanger, Dave Schrader are going to be there. Also Scott Grunwald. A slew of other people are going to be joining us. And it's amazing. There's more and more people every single year. It's awesome. Shortly, I will... Kevin, if I can pull this off, you will absolutely love this. I have the funding, as far as this goes, to bring Dennis to the conference. But, man, I'm trying to get you up here as well during that time. so we can do a big URN bash broadcast live. We'll have our own booth. We'll have everything else basically set up. It's at, if you come to the conference, it's $50 for 3 days. And that also includes the ghost hunt. So I don't know any event that's cheaper than what we do. And we also want to get everybody involved with it as well. So the venue, just to give you a quick background, the venue is a high school that is haunted as hell. The staff, the students, everything, experience things all throughout the day, all throughout the night. It's not subjective to, oh, what, when the lights go out, oh, all this weird stuff happens. No, lockers are open during the day, during class period, stuff like that. They'll walk out and they'll be, the locker doors will be open. There's just a bunch of stuff that goes on at this place. And the principal of the school is cool enough to say, hey, yeah, you know what? You're helping us out by bringing attention and awareness to Chicago Public Schools. So we're going to open everything up to everybody who's involved with this. But it's $50 for 3 days. Every other conference I've been to, when I'm paying for it, is at least $125, and that just gets you a general admission. So that's Chicago Ghost Conference coming up in November. If you happen to be in the area, or you are in the area, you have to come to it. I promise you, we're going to give you an experience where you'll talk about it for a couple of years to come. Sounds like a tall order, but it's not.
To kind of throw out a plug for my co-host, Ms. Tasha Starr, she'll be at, along with a lot of other people in the paranormal, Scarefest, which is September 12th through the 14th in Lexington, Kentucky. So check it out if you're in that area.
And a little bit involved with that, too. I didn't want to say it, but I'll throw it out there. It's not locked in 100% yet, but you might also be able to catch Dennis and I there as well.
Sweet. So we, Jeff, are, well, that's right, he can't freaking talk. So, watch this. So, Jeff, does that mean I get to play anything I want on this board to end the show? What shall I play that will irritate Jeff since he cannot speak? And if he doesn't say anything soon, I'm going to play something that will probably wake him up.
Or lose a friend.
Well, he normally does the playing out, but, you know, he can't talk. So I don't know when he wants to play the music, and I don't know when to say goodbye to all who might be left listening or who is listening in the archives. What shall I play? He told me he would never, that I should never, ever, ever play again.
So I will go on record saying that I sincerely apologize to anybody who listened to this show. I will probably send you a gift card for something for dinner if you sat through this travesty that was coming through your ear holes.
Well, for the most part, I mean, we talked about some interesting subject matter. We talked about world news. We talked about some paranormal stuff.
when we talked about ALS. It's just after
what all the hell after that.
All that happened after that, we just kind of ran out of things to talk about, so we went back to our grotesque shenanigans that seem to pop their ugly head up every now and then when we have a show with no guest. But normally, when we have a show with a guest, it's an enjoyable time, and we have a great time. And like I said, thoughts and prayers out to everybody in California. Hopefully, I'll get a hold of Christina. Like I said, I've texted her on her phone, sent her Facebook messages, and haven't gotten a response. So hopefully I'll hear from her soon that everything's okay. And hopefully I'll be able to get her to come on next Sunday. Because I got guests on other Sundays, but next Sunday I couldn't find anybody. So this may work out to our benefit as well. Because I got guests first two weekends in September, and I'm possibly going to have the other two booked. So I've almost got September booked. And I've already got a UFO expert for October on the show. So been doing my thing, trying to get everything. Let's see, Tuesday on Terrify Radio, I will have a great, great friend of mine. She's helped me out on many, many cases. Private resident cases. Very good at what she does. Miss Leetriana Brown will be on Terrify on Tuesday night. So check us out. Anything for Full Spectrum, Mr. Matt?
Full Spectrum is going to be on Wednesday. It's a continuation of last Wednesday. I'm not going to murder his last name. But we have Andrew, who was on for the Frank Sumption tribute show. He's going to be back on. He builds his amazing, amazing equipment, and he's local as well. Also joining us next same show and kind of a powwow meeting thing is going to be Michael Esposito, who is a world-renowned audio specialist. So he'll be joining us as well. Other than that, it's just going to be bullshit and shenanigans like it always is.
That's right. And check it out. Next month, Full Spectrum will have their two-year anniversary extravaganza show, which Matt and Dennis will post later on when it gets closer to time. But be sure to check that out. Anniversary shows are always fun. And we support everybody on the network. With that being said, I'm going to play a song that is only dedicated to our sleepyhead co-host, Jeffrey Sterl. Buddy, this one's for you. You have some great dreams while listening to the song, since you are such a great fan of it. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Let's see if it plays.
Swimming in your world of self-despair. try to hit.